I actually help women schedule self-care on their calendar. So similar, like we schedule meetings and doctor's appointments, like if this is meaningful and you want this to happen, let's put it on your calendar. If you don't want to do this for the rest of your life, that's fine. But let's get you into a rhythm where you start taking care of yourself. And hopefully you get so addicted to it that you're like, oh, I'm going to keep this going. You realize like, oh, my life is better. I feel better. I have more energy. And it trickles out to all these other areas of your life.
Welcome to Imperfect Momming. Our children are constantly looking to us for examples. The term role model doesn't quite cut it here. We are shaping their worldview with every move we make. You see, it's not in the lectures we give or moments where we are actively attempting to teach them. It's in the micro movements we make, the unconscious ways in which we navigate life. We are constantly teaching our children how to show up for themselves, their friends, their future partners, and even their future children. So what can we do to ensure we are raising thoughtful, compassionate, self-aware human beings? We have to become them ourselves. No one is perfect, but we can still all be better, and it starts with self-healing. Let's get to it.
Welcome back to Imperfect Momming, and we have a very special guest today, Melissa Lowe. Welcome back, or welcome to Imperfect Momming.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Absolutely. So tell us who you are and what you do.
So I'm a life coach for working moms. I specialize really in time management, and I like to say a little bit of procrastination as well. So I really not only want moms to ultimately spend time doing the things that matter most to them, but I use a lot of business tools that I've learned over the years, decades really, and you know, try to apply that to our home life as well, because it's been tested and proven in the business atmosphere.
And did I hear you say something about procrastination?
Yes. You know, I'm a big believer. So I'm a recovering procrastinator myself. But what I've found that has worked really well for me and a lot of my clients is that small, very small achievable steps, right? So we really lower the bar, because a lot of the times with procrastination, the hardest part is starting. Right? Like once I get you to start, then we can work on the consistency. But a lot of us have things in our hearts, things in our minds have been there for years and years that we haven't started yet. And I'm not talking about the laundry and stuff like that. I mean, we can work on that too and making you more consistent in that. But I find that when you focus on something that's actually lighting you up, then it gives you energy and you don't mind doing the kind of menial tasks like laundry and, you know, the dishes.
Totally agree 100%. So what's something that you see your clients or moms in general struggling with the most?
Oh man, it's a couple of things. I say perfectionism is one. So we have this idea that we have to do things in a way that is perfect. And I've yet to find anyone who can give me a definition of what perfect actually looks like. But you know, as moms, I think that there's this pressure to like not only get things done, but to make it beautiful and you know, fun for all, and to like just create this expectation that doesn't even exist. It's unrealistic expectations. And then the other one that I've been finding more and more is prioritization. So we have lots to do, and we can find ourselves working on tasks that aren't really meaningful and don't really move the needle in the areas that we really care about, but they're comfortable and they're easy, right? And so it's easier to work on those than it is to focus on the, you know, the kind of the bigger stuff. So I would say those two really come to mind.
What's coming to my mind right now is like having someone else empty the dishwasher, and like, I kid you not, I opened the cabinets this morning, and there was a butcher knife sitting on the counter or sitting on the shelf. And I was like, in whose reality is that where that goes? Because it's not my reality. And it was like, okay, it took 2 seconds to grab the knife and put it where it belonged, you know? And there's mild irritation, but the irritation is optional because it can be like, oh my gosh, whose reality was it? And you can laugh about it. Like, it is a choice of how you feel about that finding a knife on the shelf where the lights go.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple of things in there that I want to address. Like, so I think with that example, this happens in my house all the time, so it's super relatable. If it's my kids who are doing it, then I give them a lot of grace and I say to myself, okay, they're learning. I'm teaching them how to do this, right? The delegation is not easy, especially when we have super high standards, right? We've been doing it for years, some of us decades, and it's like we like it done a certain way. So, like the dishwasher, even loading the dishwasher, I remember teaching my kids how to do that. And I was just like, I just want to stop this whole thing right now. I want to shut it down. I want to do it myself because, like, I didn't realize that there could be so many ways to do this, what I considered wrong, right? But what I've learned is that, like, I've seen growth in them. And that's the part that I focus on the most. It's like, oh man, like when we first started, this was a struggle and you needed me for everything. And now, you're getting it 99% right. And that's another thing I don't have to do. So I always kind of remember that I'm like, I'm raising adults, the future adults, and that, like, if they don't get this skill right and they don't practice, then, so it's, for me, it's more like a learning opportunity, even though it is frustrating to find something, like you say, a butcher knife in the cabinet.
You had other comments, so I'll listen. I want to hear the other comments too, but
No,
I
well,
agree
I
with
think
that. Like,
the
we're
other thing around delegation is just that, we don't always put the gratitude in there as well. And I think that's the thing that I try to lead with when I'm starting to feel the irritation and the frustration coming up. It's like, wow, that person took the time to do that for me. And if they did it without me even asking, like, you get extra gratitude points, right? So I try to lead with that when I find kind of the battle, this wasn't done the way that I wanted it to be done. And to take the edge off of the perfection, it's like I'm putting that perfection on them, right? So I need to recognize that that's what I'm doing, right? They got 80% of it right. And, say, you know what? If I don't feel like it's fair for the standard for moms to be this high, I don't want to then extend that standard to my kids and my husband, right? Like, I want us to be able to, like you say, laugh at these silly things that happen and, just kind of like chill about it. Like, my goal is to have more fun and enjoy my family and my home more and not sweat the super small stuff like, the butcher knife in the cabinet.
because I mean, that's a really good point. Like, it is really small stuff that, and I love that you added the gratitude piece in there because, yeah, it's a lot. Even if you did have to ask, you still don't have to do it. And even if you have to fix something or five things, it's still less time than actually emptying the dishwasher. So I want to know more about the things that moms are putting on the back burner and that you're helping them bring forward.
So, man, self-care is the biggest one. So it's interesting. I started out being a self-care coach and I realized that moms kept saying, I don't have the time. I don't have the time. I don't have the time. There is no time. And I actually am a project management professional and data analyst. So, schedules are something that I completely understand. And I realized, man, before I can even start talking to moms about self-care, like, I have to help them manage their time. So I kind of started focusing on time management. So that's a big part of what I do. It's like, it's one thing to talk to someone across the aisle and say, oh, you should do this and you can do that. But it's very different to actually show them how, right? To actually use the calendar and say, okay, here are the things you say you want to do. Let's schedule them. Let's actually say, this is when we're going to do it on this day at this time and how long we're going to do it. So I really help moms like not just think about doing the things they want to do, but actually do them. That's the part that gives me the most gratification. I love a good deep conversation, but without action, it's kind of like, what are we doing? You know? So self-care, I actually help women schedule self-care on their calendar. So similar, like we schedule meetings and doctor's appointments. Like if this is meaningful and you want this to happen, let's put it on your calendar. If you don't want to do this for the rest of your life, that's fine. But let's get you into a rhythm where you start taking care of yourself. And hopefully you get so addicted to it that you're like, oh, I'm going to keep this going. You realize like, oh, my life is better. I feel better. I have more energy. And it trickles out to all these other areas of your life. So that's we're just kind of building a habit of self-care for moms and showing them that they do have the time. So yeah, that's kind of like the biggest thing that I work with moms on.
So how much time on average do you find for moms in their schedules?
So it depends on the mom, but I would say on average we can an hour a day at least. That we can do the self-care. Here's the thing, in this world of technology, a lot of us are scrolling, like a lot. And it might not feel that way, but it's like 15 minutes here and 20 minutes here and 30 minutes here. And, you know, you go on for 5 minutes, but you stay on for some times that you don't even want to say out loud, right?
Yeah.
So when you kind of add that up, and we do sometimes start with a time audit. So I have a mom track her time that first week that we start working together and really bring some visibility into where that time is going. Like, let's not generally talk about we don't have the time. Like, let's see where it's going. So it's all like, you know, self-reported. So I'm like, don't act like the perfect mom this week, you know, like just be yourself, be natural, and let's just see what comes out. And that's kind of our starting point. And it really is an eye-opening exercise for moms. And they're just like, wow, I didn't realize I was spending so much time doing hair or scrolling or, you know, even like figuring out what to eat. So there's a lot of like revelations that happen just from the time audit.
Yeah. Yeah. The time audits are, I don't like them because they're too revealing. I mean, I love them, but I don't like them. I don't like what they reveal.
It's hard to kind of like argue with the data. And that's what I love, right? It's like, yeah, let's talk about the facts, and then we can get into, you know, what's stopping you from having the life that you love.
And I would say that I'm a fairly scheduled person. Like I go off of my Google Calendar, and like I have it with me at all times. And what I have two areas that could be improved upon. One is how I feel when my day does not go according to my plan. Actually, like looking at, so yesterday I actually had 3 hours where there was nothing. Like I had an appointment that ended at noon, and then I had another thing that I had to do at 3, and there was nothing in between. And so like I've been really busy, and I haven't had that kind of moment for a while. So I was just like, okay, I'm going to watch TV. And I did, like, there was so many things that could have been done in that time. But at the same time, I was like, honestly, I need this TV time right now. Yeah.
And like, I love that for you. Like, I love that that's the decision that you made, because there's so many different ways for us to fill our cup. And I think that, you know, what I hope that moms walk away with when they work with me is that we have to listen to our gut, right? We got to kind of like refresh our gut first, you know, like, you know, get that good bacteria going and make sure that our gut is healthy. But then it's like there's a relationship with ourselves that we need to build So you listening to yourself and saying, yeah, there's, I could do a lot in these 3 hours, but I really just need to a mental break, and I need to have some fun and maybe watch something I haven't watched in a really long time. Like, I think that's a great choice, and I would advocate for that. And I think a lot of people think that coaches are like, no, you must like continue to be productive all throughout the day. But no, I strongly believe in rest and believe in doing activities that feel really good to you, because I think like we don't think about we manage our time, but we don't always manage our energy. And I think that at that point, your body was saying, hey, you know what? I need some time to like rest and recharge my energy. And then hopefully after you watch that TV, you got up and you maybe did something that you needed to do, and you felt better doing that because you had that time to yourself.
Yeah, I've had some interesting energy things happening in the last week where even I think I slept for 16 hours on Saturday. And so I don't know if I was, you know, fighting being sick, or if I literally had an energetic shift that I know I had an energetic shift on Monday of last week that I think my body needed to acclimate to. And I didn't have the time or the space through the week. And so Saturday, it was like I slept till 9, and I'm usually up at 4 or 5 in the morning.
Wow.
And I slept until 9. We went out and did something together as a family. I took a nap at 1. And then I don't remember actually ever getting back up after 1. Like, I know there was stuff, I was watching some TV on Saturday, and I was just laying there. And at 5 o'clock, I went upstairs to lay there and watch TV while my husband was playing video games.
Yeah.
And I slept on the couch, and I didn't wake back up again until 8 or 9. I don't know. I have no idea what time I woke up on Sunday. It was like, I thought I woke up at 9, but then I looked at the clock and it was 8. So I was so confused. We haven't changed some of the clocks in our bedroom yet. So okay. I'm sure that had either that, or there was some kind of weird time warp, but it was just a relaxing weekend, and it was necessary for what I've been doing this week.
So how did you feel after that? Do you feel much like you have much more energy now that you've kind of had that reset?
I do. I've been dealing with some dental work issues. So that was absolutely necessary to get through the week that I've had as far as the dentist is concerned. And I'm still kind of dealing with that emotionally as well as physically. Mm-hmm. So it's been a journey.
Yeah.
And and I've had to really practice giving myself grace and just listening to my body. Like, I normally wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning, and this week, I think 3 days this week, I slept till 7.
Wow.
So yeah, just having to allow what, and also practicing being okay with my choice.
Yes. And you know, other people may not be okay with your choice to sleep in as well, and that's something that you may have to battle. But I think that, you know, we know, our bodies know what it needs, and if we don't listen. So I actually had breast cancer. So I am a big believer in listening to your body and getting rest and not burning yourself out, because right before my cancer diagnosis, I had the most stressful year ever. I worked crazy hours,
yeah,
like consistently for like a year. I wasn't myself anymore. I was complaining all the time. Like, I'm a positive person, and I focused so much more on like climbing the ladder and not enough on my health.
Yeah.
Or my joy, to be honest. And, you know, I'll never do that again. So I'm very passionate about making sure that moms are like coming from the right place. Like, I wish someone had stopped me and said, like, why are you really doing this? And do you need to do this? And if the answer is yes, okay, well, let's get you there. right? Like, and if you understand your why, absolutely. But it should be tied to some kind of core value, right? And I think that that's the thing that I missed. And I just got caught up in like society's definition of success. And it really, I think it really helped make me sick, you know? So yeah, that's why I chose working moms. And I know moms are not the easiest people to help because we don't ask for help and we don't always want help. And, you know, we pay for everything for our kids, but not a lot of things for ourselves. But I know the struggle personally. And I just, when I sit down and I'm talking to a mom and she's having a breakthrough or just recognizing, man, I don't have to hustle like this. Mm-hmm. I feel like an angel gets its wings like every time. Like that's how I feel. So, yeah.
I do remember the first time I did a time audit. It's been a couple years, but I remember that I did a time audit, but I also did like, I ranked the activities that I was doing as far as like, do they bring me joy? Are they kind of neutral or do they drain me? Mm-hmm. And then going through the things that drained me and really like, do I have to do them? Or do they have to be done at all? Can somebody else do them for me? So all that kind of stuff. And that was, you know, life changing. Cause I recognize that there's a lot of, I'm hearing myself in your ideal client. I'm like, there's a lot of things that I know that I do that I feel that like I'll put these deadlines on myself, even with the podcast. I'm like, it has to get out at 7 a.m. And I'm like, nobody cares. Like, is anybody sitting there waiting for my podcast to drop? If they are, they haven't emailed me to tell me. So, you know, so on Wednesday, the episode got out at like 5 p.m. and I was okay with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I have to just remind myself that a lot of the deadlines, and this is for, I'm talking to all moms out there too, listening too, but like a lot of the deadlines that we put on ourselves are not necessary. And they create more misery than anything.
Oh my gosh. It's so true. The self-imposed deadlines are like the bane. They were the bane of my existence. I sometimes have to treat myself like a client. Like just like a client at like any business consulting agency where I'm like, you cannot have this week. Like it's not necessary, like you say. And there, it can feel so hard to move that deadline that you set that only you know about, right? And it's just like, sometimes we just need permission from someone else, even if it's not ourselves. Sometimes we just need permission to be like, it's okay to not do that. And I love that you were able to give yourself that permission and like continue doing that, because it's, you know, think about the 10,000 hours, like a lot of these things take practice until we feel more confident and we realize, man, the world didn't crumble. Like I'm still here. You know, I can still say I was consistent in my business or in my home, because you are, like you're showing up. But it doesn't have to be like at this time on the dot, you know, like that's the perfection coming through. And we don't want other people to see us and feel like, you know, we don't have it together when none of us has it together. Like none of us does, you know? I think that it's the ability to go with the flow, to adjust to the season of life that you're in. I like to think of life more in a seasonal aspect versus we're going to do the same thing every day, every year, you know, every single year. I think that we go through so many different phases of life. And it's not just on a time basis. It's, you know, because of breast cancer, I've gone into menopause early. And it's like, nobody prepared me for this. Like your energy levels are so much lower. And like, it's a different season of life that I'm in. So I am not going to be pushing myself to stay up late. Like my body shuts down at like 9:30, you know? And I need to listen to that. If I fight that, I pay for it dearly the next day. And I have to ask myself, is it worth it? So, you know, being really honest with where you are in life and what's happening in your life. It's like, okay, let me enjoy this season. If you have a young baby, you just had a newborn. Somebody might not agree with me, but until that child is on a schedule, a sleep schedule, you're just not gonna get regular sleep. Now, can you still get rest? Yes, you can still have some rest in between that, but someone telling you all you need to do is this and you'll no, enjoy this season of life. See if you can, you know, I can help you have conversations with your boss to have more flexibility. Like, to me, those are the practical things that we need to be telling moms, as opposed to sleep when the baby sleeps. Like, you know, it's not gonna happen. Not like that.
Yeah, no, I love that. So, and that kind of segues into like, what's the advice that you want to give to moms?
Oh man, I want to tell moms, well, I want to give moms some encouragement as well as some advice. I feel like so many of us are doing a really great job. And I know this because we feel guilty about not doing a good job. And I feel like that those two go hand in hand, you know, that guilt of like caring so much about wanting to do everything right. That tells me that you love your family and that you're trying your best to show up at work and at home and all the other places that, you know, you exist. And I think that we need to give ourselves a whole lot of grace and really fight against that perfectionism by showing up, giving ourselves permission to show up a little bit imperfect in the spaces that we're in. So, you know, I like to have conversations with my kids about clients that I didn't get. Like, I was super excited and we had this conversation and they said no. You know, like, mommy doesn't always get the clients that she wants. I don't always win. And it's like, what do I do in those times? So it's really letting the people who love you and who care about you and who you care about see all of you. That's the part that I want moms to get. And yeah, we talk about time management and I care about that, but really it's like allowing yourself to love your life by being yourself. By fully being yourself. And I feel like you can't do that without letting people see the real you, like all of you, you know, some of the messy parts, some of the crazy parts, the soft ones that are just like, I really just need a hug. And I think that we can do that more if we find that time to take care of ourselves and figure out what we need and then really communicate that to the people who love us.
Yeah. I love all of that because you kind of touched on, you know, modeling what we're going through for our kids. Like, they're gonna, if I know I'm guilty of this, like, I work through a lot of my own struggles really on my own, and I do it in my head and or in my journal and I'm really good at reframing and I'm good at like shifting my mood from, okay, I don't feel good right now because I'm having these negative thoughts to switching into having positive thoughts. And what I notice is that I try to do that with my son and then he doesn't want to do it and he doesn't believe, like, and then I get frustrated that he doesn't want to do it. And then he's like, well, mom, teach me how to do it. And I'm like, dude, you're, anyway, that was my morning this morning. You know, but I then broke it down to him and I said, you know, what I notice is that when I talk you through what it is that I do every step of the way, you're like, no. That doesn't work for me. That doesn't work for me. And I'm like, your mind is closed off to what I'm saying. And I understand that when the student is ready, the teacher appears, but I can be your teacher. And I just and you and I'm sorry if I get frustrated for when you don't recognize that I'm trying to teach you. And it's payback for all the times that my teacher was standing there and I was like, nope, not ready to listen. It's not my time. Or a teacher was standing there and I'm like, well, it's not time for me to listen. Sorry.
Well, I have a son too. He's 10, almost 11. And I see so much of myself in him as well. And I try to point that out to him, so the things that he's struggling with that I struggled with, which I can't tell anybody because he would kill me. But like I say to him, I struggle with that too. Like it was so hard. And I don't always try to give him a resolution. I just had to kind of figure it out myself. And I told him, like if it was, let's say the example is bullying, if someone was bullying me, I would say, God, it just felt so bad. Like, and I completely understand why you would feel bad, right? Like allow yourself to feel that way. You can always talk to me about it because I know how you feel. Like if no one else on the planet knows, I know, right? And you can always come talk to me and we can figure out what you can do in that situation, what you feel like, and give you the options so that you have something to do. But I like the idea of bringing my kids into the struggle. It's not something I've always done. It's only something that I've done recently, and I've seen a big change in the things that my kids are willing to talk to me about without me prompting them. And I never thought that kind of like being weak in their eyes would make our relationship stronger.
Yeah, to me, it's like there's this human camaraderie, like when we feel like we're doing it all, like we're the only one struggling with something and we don't want to talk about it, but when we talk about it, we realize we're not the only ones that struggle with it.
Yes, it's so true. I love how you said that. It is absolutely true. And all we want, and I think that like the reason we're here is connection. I think that that's why we're even on the planet, right? So I think that at the end of the day, we just want to feel loved and appreciated and seen, and like that's really what we want. All the other stuff is like extra icing, but I think at our core, that's what we want. So that's why I'm so for, I guess, the different types of self-care, right? Like I'm not against manicures and pedicures. Like I'm here for it. But like the deeper stuff to be like, well, what do I need? What lights me up? What makes me feel good? What makes me feel bad? Like even knowing that, what makes me moody? Like knowing those things about yourself. Those are questions that I struggled with so much. My daughter started asking me about those things. I was like, oh my God, I don't even know the answers to these questions anymore. I'm an adult. I should know myself. And I could answer those questions about my kids and my husband, but I couldn't answer them about myself. So, I actually created a journal, like it's based on list-based journaling that helps moms figure out, not just moms, but women, what is it like. It's a kind of a book about you, lists about you, 30 lists about you. That was kind of my motivation for that. But that all started from, talking to so many women and realizing that they just couldn't answer those basic questions. I was included in that, but yeah, it's amazing to me how much of ourselves we lose over time as moms. And it's kind of like a willing sacrifice, if you will.
Is there a book that's been instrumental in your personal development journey?
I would say The One Thing, I think by Gary Keller. It's a book that, so I love the entire concept of the book, and it's really telling you about kind of like having a not a fully single focus, so you're not just walking around thinking about one thing, but It's more like thinking about one thing at a time and making sure that one thing is like the best right thing for where you want to move the needle and what you want your life to look like. But the reason that it changed the way that I practice coaching and the way that I even like look at my life is there's this question called the leverage question. And it's, okay, what is the one thing that you can do today such that by doing it, that will make everything else easier or unnecessary? And that question literally changed my entire life. So when I wake up in the morning, you know, of course there are some things that I have to do, like get the kids out of the house or whatever that is. But if I'm gonna sit down and do some work, I ask myself that question first thing, what's that one thing, such am I doing, that it's gonna make everything else easier or unnecessary? And it just helps me prioritize my day like nothing else. You know, it's not, I'm not just jumping into work. Or I used to sit down and just write a list of the things that I had to do. But you weren't always sure if it was like the right priority, the right thing that you should be working on, the thing that's going to really move the needle on the thing that you care about most. Mm-hmm. But with that question, it just cleared it all up for me. And you ask it yourself at different points of the day. And when you're creating goals, you can ask yourself that question. You know, you come up with a bunch of goals. How do you get down to like one goal that you focus on maybe for the next quarter? The question's changed my life. So I love that book. And there's a lot of great principles. I always say like he drops the mic like all throughout the book.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not the first time I've heard of that book. I have not read it yet, but the reason I asked that question is for my next book to read, you know?
Oh yeah, it's a great one.
Yeah, very cool. Where can our listeners find you?
I am on YouTube at The Wealthy Mama, but wealthy is spelled W-E-L-L because I'm all about wellness. And you can also find me on Instagram. I do take breaks from Instagram on occasion, like could be as much as like 6 months for my own sanity. So, you know, I'm there sparingly, but, and it's The Wealthy Mama Co on Instagram. And then I have a Substack, but you can find all of my links through YouTube. And I post videos every 2 weeks. Because that's a good rhythm for me. And I like to just kind of go with my natural rhythm and not overwhelm myself, right? So I really don't want to be a hypocrite and not practice what I preach. My Substack is every 2 weeks, and then Instagram, it's like, I'll do it for a time and then I'll leave and take a break.
Well, I appreciate your being here and, you know, everything that you're doing in the world for moms. And I don't know what the proper way of saying like congratulations for beating breast cancer, but
you've done it perfectly. Yes,
there you go. Well, I mean that's huge. So, and it sounds like you had this life-changing thing happen to you and then you changed your life from it. Yes. And not everybody does that, so kudos.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad I get to live this life. It feels like a second life to me. And I just don't want to live with any regrets. And I don't want anyone else to either. But I don't want them to go through what I have to go through to do it. So, like, listen, learn from my lesson. And let's just start creating lives that we really, like, wake up excited to live.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you again. And there will be another episode of Imperfect Momming for you all coming next week. And until we meet again, keep healing. Bye, guys.
Thank you for tuning in to Imperfect Momming. It's time for us to step up and realize that our power is not in trying to shape our children. Our power lies in shaping ourselves into the people we want our children to model themselves after. Don't just do it for your kids. Do it for yourself. When you become a more self-aware, compassionate, and confident person, you and everyone around you benefit. For more information about me and my work, visit alishalyons.com. That's A-L-Y-S-I-A, lyons.com. See you next time.